Okay, chapter three. You are really paying very close attention to Jack. Does everybody understand? You want to be looking for physical descriptions of him and how he's changing. I want you to look at, there are times where they describe him as an animal. You need to mark those. You need to look at his relationship with Ralph. And you need to be writing down anything you notice about Jack so you can get back to it. Does everybody understand? These two chapters, three and four, the focus is on Jack. Jack was bent double. He was down like a sprinter, his nose only a few inches from the humid earth. The tree trunks and the creepers that festooned them lost themselves in a green dusk 30 feet above him. And all about was the undergrowth. There was only the faintest indication of a trail here, a cracked twig, and what might be the impression of one side of a hoof. He lowered his chin and stared at the traces as though he would force them to speak to him. Then dog-like is a description of him, correct? Uncomfortably on all fours, yet unheeding his discomfort, he stole forward 5 yards and stopped. Here was a loop of creeper with a tendril pendant from a node. The tendril was polished on the underside. Pigs passing through the loop brushed it with their bristly hide. Jack crouched with his face a few inches away from this clue, then stared forward into the semi-darkness of the undergrowth. His sandy hair, considerably longer than it had been when they dropped in, was lighter now, and his bare back was a mass of dark freckles and peeling sunburn. A sharpened stick, about 5 feet long, trailed from his right hand, and except for a pair of tattered shorts held up by the knife belt, he was naked. He closed his eyes, raised his head, and breathed in gently with flared nostrils, assessing the current of warm air for information. The forest and he were very still. At length, he let out his breath in a long sigh and opened his eyes. They were bright blue, eyes that in this frustration seemed bolting and nearly mad. He passed his tongue across dry lips and scanned the uncommunicative forest. Then again, he stole forward and cast this way and that up over the ground. The silence in the forest was more oppressive than the heat, and at this hour of the day, there was not even the whine of insects. Only when Jack himself roused a gaudy bird from the primitive nest of sticks was the silence shattered, an echo set ringing by the harsh cry that seemed to come out as the abyss of ages. Jack himself shrank at this cry with a hiss of indrawn breath, and for a minute became less a hunter than a furtive thing, ape-like, in the tangle of trees. Then the trail, the frustration, claimed him again, and he searched the ground avidly. I'm not stopping every time. You guys need to be noticing things on your own. I do tend to pause. Have you noticed that? I tend to pause places where I think you guys should probably be taped, blah, 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 be paying attention. Got it? By the trunk of a vast tree that grew pale flowers on its gray bark, he checked, closed his eyes, and once more drew in the warm air. And this time his breath came short. There was even passing pallor in his face, and then the surge of blood again. He passed like a shadow under the darkness of the tree and crouched, looking down at the trodden ground at his feet. The droppings were warm. They lay piled among turned earth. They were olive green, smooth, and they steamed a little. Jack lifted his head and stared at the inscrutable masses of creeper that lay across the trail. Then he raised his spear and sneaked forward. Beyond the creeper, the trail joined a pig run that was wide enough and trodden enough to be a path. The ground was hardened by an accustomed tread, and as Jack rose to his full height, he heard something moving on it. He swung back his right arm and hurled the spear with all his strength. From the pig run came the quick, hard patter of hooves, a castanet sound, seductive, maddening, the promise of meat. He rushed out of the undergrowth and snatched up his spear. The pattering of pig's trotters died away in the distance. Jack stood there streaming with sweat, streaked with brown earth, stained by all the vicissitudes of a day's hunting. Swearing, he turned off the trail and pushed his way through until the forest opened a little, and instead of bald trunks supporting a dark roof where there were light gray trunks and crowns of feathery palm. Beyond these was the glittering of the sea, and he could hear voices. Ralph was standing by a contraption of palm trunks and leaves, a rude shelter that faced the lagoon and seemed very near to falling down. He did not notice when Jack spoke. Got any water? Pay attention here. This exchange is very interesting between Jack and Ralph, okay? So Jack walks up and he speaks, but who doesn't hear him? Ralph. Ralph looked up frowning from the complication of leaves. He did not notice Jack even when he saw him. I said, have you got any water? I'm thirsty. Well, Ralph withdrew his attention from the shelter and realized Jack was with a start. Oh, hello, water. There by the tree ought to be some left. Jack took up a coconut shell that brimmed with fresh water from among a group that was arranged in the shade and drank. Water splashed over his chin and neck and chest. He breathed noisily when he had finished. Needed that. Simon spoke from inside the shelter. Up a bit. Ralph turned to the shelter and lifted a branch with a whole tiling of leaves. The leaves came apart and fluttered down. Simon's contrite face appeared in the hole. Sorry. Ralph surveyed the wreck with distaste. Never get it done. He flung himself down at Jack's feet. Simon remained looking out of the hole in the shelter. Once down, Ralph explained. Been working for days now, and look. Two shelters were in position, but shaky. This one was a ruin. And they keep running off. You remember the meeting? How everyone was going to work hard until the shelters were finished? Except me and my hunters. Except the hunters. Well, the little ones are, he gesticulated, sought for a word. They're hopeless. The older ones aren't much better. Do you see? All day I've been working with Simon. No one else. They're off bathing or eating or playing. Simon poked his head out carefully. You're cheap. Tell them off. Ralph lay flat and looked up at the palm trees in the sky. Meetings. Don't we love meetings every day, twice a day? We talk. He got on one elbow. I bet if I blew the conch this minute, they'd come a-running. Then we'd be, you know, very solemn. And someone would say we ought to build a jet or a submarine or a TV set. When the meeting was over, they'd work for 5 minutes, then wander off or go hunting. Jack flushed. We want meat. Well, we haven't got any yet. And we want shelters. Besides, the rest of your hunters came back hours ago. They've been swimming. I went on, said Jack. I let them go. I had to go on. He tried to convey this compulsion to track down and kill that was swallowing him up. That's new. That's new. He did not have that compulsion before, correct, you guys? These are the little things I want you to be paying attention to. He's trying to convey the compulsion to track down and kill. He's got a compulsion. He's obsessed with it, you guys. That's why he went on. All the rest of his hunters came back. But what did Jack do? He kept going, kept hunting. I went on. I thought by myself, the madness came into his eyes again. I thought I might kill, but you didn't. I thought I might, but hidden passion vibrated in Ralph's voice. But you haven't yet. What's he doing here to Jack? Jack's like, I wanted to hunt. I'm really close to getting a pig. And what does Ralph keep saying? But you haven't yet. What's that going to do to Jack? It's going to make him mad, right? He's like poking a bear right now, isn't he? He's being super annoying. His invitation might have passed as casual were it not for the undertone. You wouldn't care to help with the shelters, I suppose. We want meat, and we don't get it. Now the antagonism was audible. He's antagonizing him, isn't he? But I shall next time. I've got to get a barb on this spear. We wounded a pig, and the spear fell out. If we could only make barbs, we need shelters. Suddenly, Jack shouted in rage. Are you accusing? All I'm saying is we've worked dashed hard, that's all. They were both red in the face and found looking at each other difficult. Remember, I'm telling you to keep an eye on their relationship. Ralph rolled on his stomach and began to play with the grass. If it rains like when we dropped in, we'll need shelters, all right. And then another thing, we need shelters because of the... He paused for a moment, and they both pushed their anger away. Then he went on with a safe, changed subject. You noticed, haven't you? Jack put down his spear and squatted. Noticed what? Well, they're frightened. He rolled over and peered into Jack's fierce, dirty face. I mean, the way things are, they dream. You can hear them. Have you been awake at night? Jack shook his head. They talk and scream, the little ones, even some of the others, as if this wasn't a good island. Astonished at the interruption, they looked up at Simon's serious face. What did Simon just say? I got to tell you guys, Simon is very profound. He's got profound things. What does profound mean? And don't tell me you don't know because you've had it as a vocab word. What does profound mean? I love the fact that Wyatt's looking for a vocab book right now, correct? I know some of you have vocab books that are very easily accessible. If you look in the very back of the vocab book, you can look up what lesson the words are in. Is it in there? In the very, very, very back. What lesson? Lesson four. Thanks, Pacey and Wyatt, for looking this up. Okay, is there only one definition for it? Okay, what's the second one? Say that one nice and loud again. Understanding or knowledge. Okay, so he's gonna state stuff that has deeper meaning. It's beyond the obvious. Okay, so you guys need to pay attention to what Simon says. So what is what Simon says? What does Simon say here? What does he say about the island? It's not good. He goes, as if the island isn't good. You're gonna want to be able to find that again. As if, said Simon. The beastie or the snake thing was real. Remember? The two older boys flinched when they heard the shameful syllable. Snakes were not mentioned now, were not mentionable. As if this wasn't a good island, said Ralph slowly. Yeah, that's right. Jack sat up and stretched out his legs. They're baddie, crackers. Remember when we went exploring? They grinned at each other, remembering the glamour of the first day. Ralph went on. So we need shelters as a sort of home. That's right. Jack drew up his legs, clasped his knees, and frowned in an effort to attain clarity. All the same. In the forest? I mean, when you're hunting? Not when you're getting fruit, of course, but when you're on your own? He paused for a moment, not sure if Ralph would take him seriously. Go on. If you're hunting, sometimes you catch yourself feeling as if... He flushed suddenly. There's nothing in it, of course, just a feeling. But you can feel as if you're not hunting, but being hunted. As if something's behind you all the time in the jungle. They were silent again. Simon intent, Ralph incredulous and faintly indignant. He sat up, rubbing one shoulder with a dirty hand. Well, I don't know. Jack leapt to his feet and spoke very quickly. That's how you can feel in the forest. Of course, there's nothing in it. Only. He took a few rapid steps towards the beach, then came back. Only I know how they feel. See, that's all. The best thing we can do is get ourselves rescued. Jack had to think for a moment before he could remember what rescue was. You guys notice that? Who said that? Who thought that? Jack had to think for a moment before he could remember what rescue was. Okay, read that sentence again. Jack said it, or Jack's thinking it, right? What does it say Jack can't remember? Why not? What's he obsessed with? Yes, he's forgot about this whole idea of hunting and it, or all he's caring about is hunting, and he's forgot about what is our main goal here? To get rescued, right? That is not Jack's top priority. And it tells us that right here. Rescue. Yes, of course, all the same. I'd like to catch a pig first. He snatched up his spear and dashed it into the ground. The opaque, mad look came into his eyes again. Ralph looked at him critically through the tangle of fair hair. So long as your hunters remember the fire. You and your fire. What is still Ralph's main goal? Rescue, right? And what is their only hope for rescue, according to Ralph? The smoke signal, right? The boys trotted down the beach and, turning at the water's edge, looked back at the pink mountain. The trickle of smoke sketched a chalky line up to a solid blue of the sky, wavered high up and faded. Ralph frowned. I wonder how far off you can see that. Miles. We don't make enough smoke. The bottom part of the trickle, as though conscious of their gaze, thickened to a creamy blur which crept up the feeble column. They've put on green branches, muttered Ralph. I wonder. He screwed up his eyes and swung round to search the horizon. Got it. Jack shouted so loudly that Ralph jumped. What? Where? Is it a ship? But Jack was pointing to the high declivities that led down from the mountain to the flatter part of the island. Of course! They'll lie up there, they must, when the sun's too hot. Ralph gazed, bewildered, at his rapt face. They get up high up in the shade, resting during the heat like cows at home. I thought you saw a ship. We could steal up on one, paint our faces so they wouldn't see and perhaps surround them. And then indignation took away Ralph's control. I was talking about smoke. Don't you want to be rescued? All you talk about is pig, pig, pig. But we want meat. And I work all day with nothing but Simon. And you come back and don't even notice the huts. I was working too, but you like it, shouted Ralph. You want to hunt, while I... What does this sound like? Yeah, but who does it sound like fighting? I've been out working all day. Listen, let me finish it. Okay? I've been home slaving away with this kid trying to do this all, and you come home and don't even notice that the house is all clean. I've been at work. I've been making money at work. What does it sound like? It sounds like a set of parents fighting, right? The dad's coming home from a long day outside of the house. Mom's at home who's been working her tail end off working in the house, right? And dad doesn't even notice that the dishes were done and the laundry's folded and put away, correct? They are fighting like an old... married couple, correct? Okay, I told you, keep an eye on their relationship. What? They faced each other on the bright beach, astonished at the rub of feeling. Ralph looked away first, pretending interest in a group of little ones on the sand. From beyond the platform came the shouting of the hunters in the swimming pool. On the edge of the platform, Piggy was lying flat, looking down into the brilliant water. People don't help much. He wanted to explain how people were never quite what you thought they were. Simon, he helps. He pointed at the shelters. All the rest rushed off. He's done as much as I have, only Simon's always about. Ralph stared back at the shelters with Jack by his side. Do a bit for you, muttered Jack, before I have to bathe. So Jack's now saying, okay, I guess I'll help you. Don't bother, is what Ralph's response is. But when they reached the shelter, Simon was not to be seen. Ralph put his head in the hole, withdrew it, and turned to Jack. He's buzzed off. Got fed up, said Jack, and gone for a bath. Ralph frowned. He's queer. He's funny. Jack nodded. As much for the sake of agreeing as anything, and by tacit consent, they left the shelter and went towards the bathing pool. And then, said Jack, when I've had a bath and something to eat, I'll just trek over to the other side of the mountain to see if I can see any traces coming. But the sun's nearly set. I might have time. Okay, pay attention. I love this. This is one of my favorite quotes. They walked along two continents of experience and feeling unable to communicate. What's happening to their relationship right now? What, Mason? They are coming apart, right? For some odd reason, they cannot communicate right now. Because what is the only thing that Ralph is thinking about? And what is the only thing Jack is thinking about? And so they cannot seem to come together and communicate because their goals are not the same, right? If I could only get a pig, I'll come back and go on with the shelter. They looked at each other baffled in love and hate. All the warm salt water of the bathing pool and the shouting and splashing and laughing were only just sufficient to bring them together again. Okay, so they haven't cracked far enough that some time together playing and messing around brought them back together, right? But when it comes time to be a leader and do things, that is what's not going well, correct? Simon was not in the bathing pool as they had expected. When the other two had trotted down the beach to look back at the mountain, he had followed them for a few yards and then stopped. He had stood frowning down at the pile of sand on the beach where someone had been trying to build a little house or hut. Then he turned his back on this and walked into the forest with an air of purpose. He was a small, skinny boy. Okay, here's a description of Simon, you guys. Simon's a very important character just because he's profound, just because he does things and it ends up being really important in the novel. He was a small, skinny boy, his chin pointed and his eyes so bright they had deceived Ralph into thinking him delightfully gay and wicked. The coarse mop of black hair was long and swung down, almost concealing a low, broad forehead. He wore the remains of shorts and his feet were bare like Jack's. Always darkish in color, Simon was burned by the sun to a deep tan that glistened with sweat. He picked his way up the scar, past the great rock where Ralph had climbed on the first morning, then turned off to his right among the trees. He walked with an accustomed tread through the acres of fruit trees, where the least energetic could find an easy, if unsatisfying, meal. Flower and fruit grew together on the same tree, and everywhere was the scent of ripeness and the booming of a million bees at pasture. Here the little ones, who had run after him, caught up with him. They talked, cried out unintelligibly, lugged him towards the trees. Then amid the roar of bees in the afternoon sunlight, Simon found for them the fruit they could not reach, pulled off the choicest from up in the foliage, passed them back down to the endless outstretched hands. When he had satisfied them, he paused and looked around. What does this show us about Simon? What's he doing for the little ones? He's helping them, right? He's making sure they have good food. The little ones watched him inscrutably over double handfuls of ripe fruit. Simon turned away from them and went where the just perceptible path led him. Soon high jungle closed in, tall trunks bore unexpected pale flowers all the way up to the dark canopy where life went on clamorously. The air here was dark too, and the creepers dropped their ropes like the rigging of foundered ships. His feet left prints in the soft soil, and the creepers shivered throughout their lengths when he bumped them. He came at last to a place where more sunshine fell. Since they had not so far to go for light, the creepers had woven a great mat hung on the side of an open space in the jungle. He hasn't noticed butterflies yet, has he? No. Okay, good. In the jungle. And here a patch of rock came close to the surface, and he would not allow more than little plants and ferns to grow. The whole space was walled with dark aromatic bushes and was a bowl of heat and light. A great tree, fallen across one corner, leaned against the trees that still stood, and a rapid climber flaunted red and yellow sprays right to the top. Simon paused. He looked over his shoulder as Jack had done at the close ways behind him and glanced swiftly round to confirm that he was utterly alone. For a moment, his movements were almost furtive. Then he bent down and wormed his way into the center of the mat. The creepers and the bushes were so close that he left his sweat on them, and they pulled together behind him. When he was secure in the middle, he was in a little cabin screened off from the open space by a few leaves. He squatted down, parted the leaves, and looked out into the clearing. Nothing moved but a pair of gaudy butterflies. Okay, I told you when we first noticed the butterflies to pay very close attention to them, okay? And danced around each other in the hot air. Holding his breath, he cocked a critical ear at the sounds of the island. Evening was advancing towards the island. The sounds of the bright, fantastic birds, the bee sounds, even the crying of the gulls that were returning to their roosts among the square rocks were fainter. The deep sea breaking miles away on the reef made an undertone less perceptible than the susurration of the blood. Simon dropped the screen of leaves back into place. The slope of the bars of honey-colored sunlight decreased. They slid up the bushes, passed over the green candle-like buds, and moved up towards the canopy, and darkness thickened under the trees. With the fading of the light, the righteous colors died, and the heat and urgency cooled away. The candle buds stirred, their green sepals drew back a little, and the white tips of the flowers rose delicately to meet the open air. Now the sunlight had lifted clear of the open space and withdrawn from the sky. Darkness poured out, submerging the waves between the trees till they were dim and strange at the bottom of the sea. The candle buds opened their wide white flowers, glimmering under the light. They pricked down from the first stars. Their scent spilled out into the air and took possession of the island. What has Simon found? Do you guys understand what he's found? Yeah, so basically, so nature did this. It's on the island where basically these vines, which are what the creepers are, okay, are like vines. They're coming down from the trees, and they are so thick, and they've wrapped around each other so thickly, and then you've got the stuff growing up, so they've been like combined. So it's almost like this like little tent. Like he can split them, and he can go into the middle, and there's like a mat of all like the fallen vegetation. And then he can close it and you can't see him. So like I always call it Simon's sanctuary. It's where he can go to be alone, which he likes to do. He likes to be alone. He's not really into people. Okay. So but what is all around on the outside? What is that thing I told you to watch for? What's outside his little sanctuary? Butterflies. Okay. Okay, so